Good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio is the new director of the Alaska Raptor Center, Peter Coulson. Welcome to Morning Edition, Peter.
Thank you. Good morning, Melissa.
Well, let's see. You came on board, what, about a month ago?
Correct. Yeah, September 8th was my first official day.
And you're taking over for Debbie Reeder, who served for about 13 years.
Yeah, 13 years, 8 years as director, and has done a wonderful job there.
Well, what brought you up to the Alaska Raptor Center?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. First and foremost, since I was very young, I had a great passion for raptors. I spent a lot of time, traveling around the continent, going to hotspots for raptor viewing during migrations. I've had that passion, and of course, everybody knows that I've always considered Sitka as my home, and I've come back here a couple of times, and this is actually the third time I've returned to Sitka, and I hope I'll be here for a long time to come. But of course, when I was here originally, most people knew me as a fly fisherman as much as I was anything else. And so, the lure of coming back to streams and rivers and lakes again was a big part of it as well. But certainly being looking at leading the Raptor Center into the next, 10 to 15 years, and the vision that I have for it is the premier reason I came back.
So what does leading the Raptor Center mean to you?
The Raptor Center is known really all over the continent, even worldwide, of course. We get lots of visitors from all over the world that come up and enjoy the Raptor Center and appreciate the things that we're doing there. So, looking at that, we want to build on that. We want to even cast our net deeper and broader than it ever has been before. And so we want to be known not only, throughout the United States and Alaska, we'd like to be known throughout the world. And that comes with doing a lot more branding and a lot more of just making ourselves accessible, whether it's electronically or to people who visit Sitka.
And now the Raptor Center is also at the Ketchikan Indian Community during the summers. They bring Sitka, the bald eagle, over there. Mm-hmm. What's that like in terms of having two separate locations? How do you see that moving forward in the future?
I think that's going to be a major part of it. I mean, of the vision. One, obviously, Ketchikan gets a lot more visitors than Sitka does because they're sort of on that main cruise ship trail. They see almost 1 million visitors there compared to the 120,000 that we probably saw in Sitka this year, and so that gives us a lot more of that sort of tactile contact with visitors, who are coming off that and visiting the Rainforest Sanctuary. And so, part of the vision includes, expanding that program. And we'd like to find some expanded facilities there, some nicer facilities there, the opportunity to do even more with the education and programming for all the visitors that the Rainforest Sanctuary sees. And they see about 50,000 a year, which is pretty nice when you add that to the 30,000 that we see here in Sitka at the Raptor Center. That's a lot of people going out there and spreading the word about what we're doing here.
Tell us a bit about what you were doing before you came back up to Sitka.
Okay, well, I left Sitka about 11 years ago. And the first 3 years, I was at Interlochen Center for the Arts in Michigan, which is where I also graduated high school from. They had decided to start arts programming for adults, things like band camps and visual arts camps and institutes, writing institutes. And so they hired me to get those programs going. So I spent 3 years there getting those programs up and running for them. And then after about 3 years, I decided that I wanted to move back a little closer to my family, particularly my daughter, who lived in Minnesota. So I took the job as the recreation program coordinator for the city of Brookings, which is a town of about 23,000 people, plus it has about another 13,000 at the university. I did that for 4 years, and then everybody decided to retire at once. And by default, somewhat, I became the new director. And I took that department in a very different direction. It was kind of an old school department. They didn't use technology much, and they were kind of doing the sort of typical programs that you'd associate with a rec and park department. And we did some real innovative thinking and built some new and different kinds of parks, including a 135-acre nature park. So I did that's what I was doing before I came, and I really it's a dream come true to come back here. I had a great job there, but an opportunity really is to me, it comes full circle because originally my hope had been to become a raptor biologist when I started college and discovered that I didn't really have the mathematics skills to become a scientist. And so to come back here in the last part of my career as a leader of the Raptor Center, it really comes full circle for me and really, you know, completes my life, I'd be honest with you.
Well, it sounds like you're planning on doing something similar to what you were doing before, which is steering an organization in a new direction.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan.
Building upon the strengths that preceded you.
Yeah, I think, you know, Debbie Reeder's done a wonderful job in terms of getting, you know, the day-to-day operations and mechanics in place. I mean, people know what they're supposed to do and how it's supposed to work. And so, you know, that's going to really give me the time, you know, to develop the vision for the Raptor Center that we'd like to work with the next 10 or 15 years.
So have you gotten a bird on the glove yet?
I have not yet. You know, I spend a lot of time hanging around them.
That's the start of the process.
I know. And, you know, and I handled some small rafters when I was younger. And so, you know, I'm really interested to get back there. And one of the exciting things when I first came back is that we have a northern goshawk that had an eye injury, and we're going to end up having to place him out because, you know, right now we're at capacity at the Raptor Center in terms of the people or the birds that are staying with us. But goshawk's one of my favorite birds of all time, and so just to even spend a little time just kind of taking a peek at him from time to time is a thrill. Makes the job worth it.
Well, we had heard a little bit about the Raptor Center recently, a news story about some land, mm-hmm. I think, being put into trust with the Raptor. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and I'm learning a little bit about this, but this was some of the land that was still left over from when Sheldon Jackson closed, and it's about 7 acres, I think, altogether that the Raptor Center is going to end up taking over and will be placed in a conservation easement. And as in partnership with that, we're going to place some of our land into a conservation easement as well. And so we're going to have roughly 24 to 25 acres of land, which for me is very exciting. I just finished building out a 135-acre nature park back in South Dakota. And so I see some great potential here for other types of interpretive programs about temperate rainforests, the muskeg, and of course we have Indian River, you know, flowing right through the property as well. And so I think there's a lot more of that we can do and offer to people who come to visit the center.
Tell us a little bit more about some other specific dreams you have. When you envision the Raptor Center 5 or even 10 years from now, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that sort of paramount in my mind is that, you know, we'd like to figure out some kind of a housing situation that will allow us to offer, you know, college internships and other people from outside of Sitka to come up and volunteer and work, as well as having some kind of housing available for education groups who may want to come up and have extended stays in Sitka. And as we all know, you know, during the summer season and spring and fall a little bit, housing is still very, very tight here in Sitka. And so that, you know, that's kind of one of those things that is a bit of a barricade to having that happen. So that's one of the things that we need to solve, and whether that's something that we partner with somebody else on or we have something right there on our campus, you know, to provide that, that would be great. And that would also, one of the other things, visions that I have is we'd like to expand the research that people might be able to do with some of our birds, and to be able to provide some housing for some scientists to come up and make it affordable for them. That's a big part of it. I see that in terms of the vision, especially over the next 10 years, is going to be an important part of that. It's going to be a problem that needs to be solved.
What's community outreach going to look like in Sitka this season, winter season?
Well, one of the things that we want to do is a lot more with the schools than what we've done before. We've never really had a presence over at Mount Edgecombe High School. We'd like to do a little bit more of that, or a lot more of that for that matter. But also, of course, make ourselves available to the school systems here. But we're also just looking at other ways that we can just provide education. Some of it's material. One of the things we're certainly going to do is we're going to revamp our website. I think one of the things that we haven't really told the story well about what we actually do in terms of taking care of the birds and the fact that, you know, our main focus and mission is being an avian hospital. And so we really want to be able to tell that story better than what we've told it before, because when people come to visit the center, that's the thing that they really key on. They're very appreciative and about what we're doing in terms of rehabilitating birds. And even if we can't rehabilitate them, using them, you know, for education and just the way we take care of them overall.
Well, very briefly, what are opportunities for people to visit the Raptor Center this fall and this winter?
Okay.
And how do they do that?
You know, we're open from 10 to 3 o'clock for the public, and during the winter there isn't a charge. One of the things we're trying to do is develop some self-guided tour materials as well, because obviously we don't have the seasonal staff that we have to do tours. I love to do tours. When I see somebody come at the front desk, I usually try to drop whatever I'm doing and go and give everybody a tour, but that's not always possible, so we're trying to provide some tours. So when people do come up, you know, they'll have some materials that they can just pick up, and they'll still be able to tour it even if somebody isn't available to take them on a personal tour.
Well, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me this morning.
We've been speaking with Peter Coulson, the new executive director of the Alaska Raptor Center.